And I'd like to remind everyone to please, at this time, turn off your cell phones or place them on vibrate so as not to disturb the message of recovery. And we have a speaker here today whose name is Vincent Jay, and he's from the Tri-County area. And his topic is Give Yourself a Chance.
Hi, my name is Vincent. I'm an addict. And it's truly through God's grace that I'm here, and I take no credit for it. This topic, actually was given to me a little over 7 years ago, and I heard it first in a treatment center. My clean date is December 5th, 2006, and from that day I haven't found it necessary to use. And the reason, I shared that is because, I don't want to ever forget, I don't want to ever forget what it took getting me into this program. Because for a long time, I fought getting here. In 1990, I was eligible for this program. The reason I'm sharing that is because I was coming through a transition house. This place was called Hope Village. And some of the people in the metropolitan area may know this area. Let me get back. I forgot to thank the Central Maryland area for inviting me down. And I thank God once again for allowing me, sparing me, and bringing me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And like I said, I was eligible in 1990, and I believe this was my first opportunity to experience a new life. I remember going to this facility. This is like a transition house that they send inmates to transition back into society. I remember them telling us that we had to get on this bus. And they put us on this little short bus, and they took us up to St. Elizabeth. And I said, shit, I ain't going in there. Them people crazy. See, I didn't know I was eligible then. I didn't know that I was in the right place then. So if you're here, you're in the right place. If you're a newcomer, trust and believe, you're in the right place. There's a reason why you're here. You've been chosen. There's only a selected few of us that make it here. And I know that from my own experience because of the areas and the corners that I used to be on, nobody was talking about give yourself a chance. They wasn't talking about that over there on Alabama Avenue, and I'm not trying to name a lot of names of places I've been, but, no one shared with me give yourself a chance when I was out there copping. And it wasn't until I got to this fellowship, and that was through a treatment center for the first time that I had ever, and that was the most profound thing that I heard in my 38 years, man, was to give yourself a chance. Because if I look at my story, I had never gave myself a chance. I had sold myself short. I would start things, I wouldn't finish them. The only thing that I was consistent with was being inconsistent. I never finished high school. One of the reasons I couldn't finish because it kept interfering and using. Because I started using at the age of 13. I think I took my first drink when I was 9. Matter of fact, my uncle convinced me. He said, "Boy, drink this. This will put hay on your chest." And that was a lie. I ain't get no hay on my chest, but I threw up for about 2 hours, and I said, I ain't never touching that shit again, right? But the truth of the matter, after that, I found other things to like cover up the way that I was feeling. And that lasted for a long time, I had I had used for probably over 24 years. Basically, what I had became was a slave to my disease. You know, and I really didn't see any way out. You know, I really didn't see any way out. But like I said, it wasn't until I got the treatment. And I believe for me, I needed to see some evidence. You know, and I believe that God knew that for me to get clean, I had to see some evidence. And it was a guy in this treatment center. You know, I'm not going to share his name. You know, I'm not going to break his anonymity because he's still here today. You know, thank God for that guy who delivered that message to me when I got here. You know, and the reason I said evidence because, you know, I had to see somebody who used like I had used, lived the lifestyle that I had lived to let me know that I could get clean and stay clean. You know, and I remember like going into treatment, and one of the things that I heard when I first got there, you know, they told me if I just did the opposite of what I did prior to getting here, that my life would get better. And that shit went over my head, for real, you know. But what I did here was give yourself a chance. I heard that, and that was the last day that I left out that treatment center, and I stayed. You know, they gave me some real simple suggestions. You know, I think the most difficult thing for an addict to do is follow directions and take suggestions. And, you know, because the only thing, you know, when people talk about change, you know, the first thing that shows up is resistance. And I resisted, you know, that change for a long time. But like I said, I needed to see some evidence. And the reason I said, you know, because this guy, when I seen him, I was like, man, I know this guy from somewhere, you know. Matter of fact, I said, man, you got to have a brother, man. You got a brother? And he was like, I said, you got to be a twin. He said, no, man, I'm the only child. So, you know, at that point, that was my, you know, that convinced me that something had happened in his life that changed course, you know, and I, for that, for me witnessing that, I knew that it was hope for me, you know, and so I took the suggestions when I got out, and I went to, soon I left out of the building, I went to a meeting, an early meeting. I did what people told me to do. You know, I heard because that, you know, H and I came in and bought us meetings, and they told us the important thing of staying clean is to go to meetings, you know, pray, go to meetings, help somebody with no strings attached, and most of all, help the dummy, right? So I was suggested, you know, get a sponsor. And I didn't do that right away, but what I did do is, soon I left that treatment center, I went to a meeting. And matter of fact, I made two meetings that day. And I went to, after coming out that first meeting, I went back to the place that I was living in. It was a place called White House. The White House Motel. I don't want to get nobody confused about the fact that I was living in the White House. It was called the White House Motel. And I had been living there for over two years. Matter of fact, when I told the lady where I was living, she referred to it as the Lion's Den, you know. When I went back to that place, I remember going in, and my neighbor who I used with for a long time, I had went by his house to get something out of his house that I had left before I went to treatment. And you know, everybody was in there. They was doing their thing, you know, everybody. And they said, damn, man, you look good. And by the way, y'all all look good today, too. I'm about to tell y'all, man, y'all look good. Man, something about when you clean up, man, you know, is that glow, you know, that six-month glow, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you got it, baby, you know. But, you know, he said, man, you look good, man. I said, yeah. And shortly after that, he said, well, I wonder how long that's going to last. You know. Because I remember people telling me, change slippery people, places, and things. You know what I'm saying? And I had my first experience. Because truth of the matter, I had a lot of bets on me when I got here. You know. Because I had used for a long time. You know. I believe only the person that really hadn't counted me out was my mother. You know, I know she was one of the people who prayed for me in order for me to get here. I'm certain of it. You know, and today my mother's prayer has been answered.
Mm-hmm.
But those people, you know, those people who I used with, man, you know, they said, I wonder how long that's going to last. And I remember going to a meeting, and I shared about it, you know. And I remember, matter of fact, I told a family member I was going to a meeting that night, and they said, well, get with this guy. And they gave me the guy's name. So, you know, I met with the guy when I got to that meeting, and I told him what was going on with me, man, and how I was feeling, you know. And what he shared with me was something that also helped change course. What he shared with me was the people that I was talking about. He said, the people that you're talking about, they just don't have the courage to do what you're doing. And you know, that's the first kind of, you know, first time I heard people talk like that. Because growing up, you know, I had a lot of misinformation, you know. And like I said, you know, I had a lot of family members who used. And I can remember from even early in life, you know, I always was seeking, you know, seeking approval, seeking attention, love. And, you know, that especially that love piece, you know, because I grew up in a household. I grew up in my grandmother's house. And my grandmother had, like, 11 children. So, you know, I was one of the youngest in the family who lived there at that time. And my father, he lived up the street. So I'm saying I always was seeking that love, that approval for somebody. And I remember, like, talking with this guy. He used to say things, man, that used to really bother me. You know, he would say, you got the best of both worlds. You know, I didn't understand what he was talking about, you know, because all I could think, because based on my perception was, man, you don't even live with me, you know. And I played the blame and the shame game for a long time, you know. I'm talking about, you know, I'm looking people to be perfect in an imperfect world, you know. So, you know, needless to say, you know, none of my family members were perfect. You know, they did the best they could with what they had. But what he was trying to share with me was that they loved me unconditionally. You know, it wasn't until he died, and he died in 2009, and we was able to build that relationship. And that was only through giving myself a chance, you know, to give my, you know, to turn my life over to this program, to this God-given program. And, you know, some of the things that I did since I've been here, because like I said, you know, the only thing, you know, I would start things, but I wouldn't finish it. But it was some suggestions that was given to me when I got here because with my sponsor, because I did get a sponsor. And what he told me was that I needed some more living skills. You know, because I didn't have a lot of living skills when I got here. You know, so one of the suggestions was to go back to school. And I fought that idea too, you know, for a long time. You know, I believe it took me a few years before I was willing to, like, do something to improve the quality of my life. I went to school, you know. I went back to get my GED since I've been here. And all I could tell myself at that point that, you know, I'm not going to succeed at this, you know. You know, my disease, I found, like, when my disease, when I'm happy, you know, my disease is miserable. And when I'm miserable, my disease is happy. You know, so long as I keep telling myself what I can't do, you know, the disease is winning, you know. And I always have to remember that my head is out to get my ass. I need to remember that all the time, you know. I was open to that suggestion. And when I got, you know, when I started going to class, you know, people, the younger people, they would finish their work, And they would get up, man. I'm looking at them like, damn. You know, because I ain't been to school in over 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So I had already counted myself out. You know, I kept telling myself what I couldn't do. And it was people in this program told me, yes, I could. You know, that they could, they did it. And they got through it. And all I had to do was just hold on. And I can get through it, too. And I remember, you know, it was this teacher, Abe, that always used to say, like, did you pray? And I was like, you know, what the hell is prayer going to do for me? You know, I need the answer. You know, because I'm the kind of guy, you know, I'm looking for instant gratification. I'm looking for the quick fix. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, Narcotics Anonymous is not a quick fix. You know, it's a learning and growing process for me. You know, and this thing just don't range from the attic with 24 hours. You know, this go as far as the attic with 54 years. You know, I had to continue to challenge myself and recover. You know, I had to set new goals for myself. And that's one of the goals that I set when I got here. And I remember the lady telling me that you need to, that I needed to pray before I come in and take a test. And I remember one time the teacher caught me, right? You know, she was telling us about this assignment. And so I started writing, you know, the stuff that was on the board because I'm looking, you know, I'm trying to get a head start. I'm trying to get a jump. You know, I'm trying to get a jump on these people because I'm getting tired of being the last person in that goddamn class, right? So, you know, I'm writing things down and she caught me. She said, Mr. Johnson, she said, I know what your problem is. I'm looking at her like, you know, she like 34, and I'm looking at her like, you know, who the hell are you talking to? Don't you know who I am? Right? You know, because I'm a legend in my own mind. You know, I come off them streets, right? You know, I'm a street addict, so, you know. She said, I know exactly what your problem is. I said, you know, what's my problem? She said, Mr. Johnson, you keep trying to come up with the answer before I finish giving you the question. And I started to understand, like, what I needed to do was follow directions. You know, I had to read the instructions first. You know, it's something about me. I'll go right past the instructions. You know, that's just like if you give me something, you know, I'm like a cat. You know, you give me something put together, I ain't going to look at the instructions. But then at the end, I got about 5 or 6 bolts left. You know what I'm saying? But that shit together, right? Right? So I'm always looking for the easy way out, you know. But I got what they was trying to tell me, you know, that I had to do the necessary footwork. And what was most important, that I invite God in first. You know, I believe that God would not come where he's not invited. You know, and I know for me that it was God that brought me here, man, because I was the guy who prayed to get clean. You know, I can tell you about this gangster that I was, but the truth of the matter is, by the time I got here, I was beaten. And I said that prayer that most of us do, God, please help. You know, and I always need to remember the, you know, the power that brought me here. And I knew that this program was tailor-made just for me when I got here. You know, I was tailor-made just for Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, some things also that people told me, and they said, you know, one of the important things is getting your license. You know, because, you know, I forfeited all that shit when I was out there using. You know, I was just like the gingerbread man, you know. Fuck it, catch me when you can, you know. And I, you know, because, you know, y'all told me chase my recovery like I chased my drugs. You know, so I came in here, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a license. You know, so I thought y'all said I could go to meetings without a license. Because y'all said chase that thing, right? And I found out, you know, they lock your ass up. You keep driving on a license. And I found that out, too. Because I thought that I got clean because I didn't want to go to jail from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Until I went to jail clean, mm-hmm. right? Because I brought a lot of those behaviors into recovery, mm-hmm. you know. But people told me also, when I was telling a guy that, man, you know, it probably would take an act of God in order for me to get my license back. You know, because I did a lot of damage when I was out too, you know, out there. You know, I ran in the back of people nodding and shit, you know, because I like to nod, you know. So, I mean, you know, And I ain't like paying people, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can't get blood from a turnip. You know, that was my motto when I was out there, you know, get it like Grant got Richmond. You know, that's kind of how I live. And I brought a lot of those behaviors in here, too, in recovery. So, when I said initially I had to give myself a chance when I got here, even after being here, I had to keep giving myself a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a growing process. It don't stop just because we get clean. Mm-hmm. You know, and it don't matter how long you've been clean. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a wide area, you know. For me, I know that today. You know, and I remember a good friend of mine, you know, I used to say, man, it probably would take an act of God for me, because I hadn't had a license since 1994. You know, and this was like in 2011. And needless to say, I had to go to a lot of court dates. I had to show up in a lot of different areas. I had to do some things that I ain't really necessarily want to do. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that they told me. They said if I wanted to get clean and stay clean, I may have to do some things that I don't necessarily want to do. So I had to challenge myself in a lot of different areas after being here. You know, a good friend of mine, he said, man, your license is at Popman Motor Vehicles. You just got to go up there and get them. I mean, it was that simple. But, you know, I complicate anything, right? You know, like I said, man, I'm always looking for the easier and softer way, man. But I found that doing the footwork is the easiest way. You know, and I have to continue to challenge myself in a lot of different areas of my life if I want to continue to grow in this program. You know, I don't want to be the same $2 guy that I was when I got here. And since I've been here, my life has improved some qualities. You know, I'm employable. You know, I have a license. I show up, you know, I'm because I didn't show up, man, you know, for a long time. When I'm using, I don't show up. You know, I can look back at the scrapbook. And I had pictures when I was like maybe 12 and 13, but for probably maybe a 20-year stretch, man, you know, there was no photographs of me. I'm talking about I'm showing up for life, you know, and that's a big thing for me, you know. So, you know, the person who may be in treatment, the person that may be going through something, you know, I remember, like, after getting that GED, and I had an aunt that was ailing, and she was about to pass on. And I talked to her before she passed on, and what she told me was real simple, because I told her I finally went back and got my GED. Well, she told me, don't stop now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a dying woman's words. Mm-hmm. Don't stop now. So, you know, if you hear, you know, if this is your first convention, don't stop now. Mm-hmm. You know, more good things are going to come, you know, if you stay here. Trust and believe that. But for me, you know, I had to see some evidence. I had to see some people go through some things and get to the other side and to let me know that I could do the same, mm-hmm. You know. I don't know what's time. But I just want to thank, you know, I want to thank everybody who showed up this morning, especially the people from Tri-County area, you know. That's where I got clean at. You know, and I've been working in service. You know, that's something big for me too. You know, because I didn't get a lot. I didn't get involved a lot, man, when I was out there. And even in recovery, you know, I didn't really show up for a lot of like the activities that we had. But for me, it's a growing process. You know, I didn't even have an email. I just got an email about 2 weeks ago. You know. So, you know, I had the phone where you couldn't even send me pictures or none of that shit, right? Because, you know, I didn't want to challenge myself in that stuff, you know. So what I urge you to do, newcomer, the person who's been here for a while, continue to challenge yourself. You know, it just doesn't stop here. Thanks for allowing me to share.